And I'm so thankful that I'm able to even present God's word to you. I mean, it's a responsibility, right? But it's just, it's humbling. And I pray that you get what the Lord has for you today, and I don't stand in the way. And that's just something. Now, I want you to keep in mind three things, because we're going to sing three songs later on, or, you know, if the Lord permits and the Holy Spirit directs, three things. I want you to think one thing, remember one thing, and that's from Psalm 27:4, right? One thing have I desired of the Lord. We're going to try and sing that later. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we sang that last time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about. That's a song too. And I think there's no better way to memorize scripture than to sing it. And there's no better way to hide God's word in your heart than to sing it. And it works for me, and I hope it works for you. But now in the book of Jonah, if you turn to the book of Jonah, we're going to recap just slightly. I'm not going to tarry long in the book of Jonah, but I do want to bring everybody together so we can go forward together. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Is everybody in Jonah? Everyone that wants to go there? And it says in verse 2, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, he was told to go to Nineveh, right? But then in verse 3 it says, so he got up and he went to Tarshish. So, Lord, you want me to go to Nineveh? So naturally I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to Tarshish. No, he went the wrong way, right? And so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. I skipped a spot. Verse 3. He flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. You know, if you ever want to flee the Lord, if you ever want to sin, there's always a way. You can always find a way to do wrong. But God will always find, he will always have a path for you to do right. And he'll enable you to do right. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So it says from the presence of the Lord. And like I said last week, and I just want to, this is the last time that I'm going to recap this, but four things I've noticed in Jonah, and I want us to get in our head too, four things that we can learn from Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And throughout all the country, throughout all the world, not everybody has the word. Not everybody has a Bible of their own. Some families, they have parts of the Bible. They have pieces of the Bible that they can get to. And some, they don't have any of the Bible. So just don't take it for granted, but just be thankful of the fact that you have God's word in your hand. Because if you don't have it, you know, you can still praise the Lord, but you just be thankful that you have God's word. And that's the one thing that I got out of the first verse here, was the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. What a blessing. Don't take that for granted. The second thing that jumps out at me is that Jonah fleed from the very presence that could help him the most. You know, if you go through something in your life, just like this Taylor family's going through the life, going through the loss of their son, when you're going through something in your life, don't flee from the presence of the Lord. Don't go in a different direction. Because the very people that can help you will direct you to the Lord. And oftentimes, you know, sometimes we do foolish things and we go through either a happy time or a very sad time. We will take off and go the wrong direction, just like Jonah did. But we need to cling to the Word of God. We need to go to the people that preach the Word of God. And that's where we can get our help. We need to go to the Lord. So that was, and then the third thing is Jonah found a ship and paid the fare thereof. And when we leave God's will, we will always pay a fare. And he said he found a ship, he found a way to sin, he found a way to leave the presence of the Lord, and he went their way and he paid it. We always pay a price when we don't do what the Lord wants us to do. You know what's right, you know what you should do, but then you go in a different direction and you pay a price, just like Jonah did, only Jonah did it up front. And then in verse 3, and went down into it and to go with them. I notice when he went down into the ship, the Bible says he went with them, right? Maybe it's the people of the ship, or maybe it was someone else that Jonah was dragging away from God with him. Maybe it was someone else that Jonah was taken with him, and then said to go with them. You know, you never sin alone. You think you're doing something privately. You think you're doing something that no one else knows about, but you affect everybody. Sooner or later, you affect others. And people are watching us, especially if you're a Christian in here today. People are watching us. People are looking up to us, and we need to be sometimes we're the only Jesus that they see, right? We need to point people to Christ. We need to use our lifestyle and what we do and what we say, and try and just pay attention to what we're doing, because we don't want any disgrace to come to our Lord and Savior because of us. We want to honor God with our lives, and I think God will honor us because of it. And then I noticed one other thing I was reading, and you can check it out later, but in the book of Jonah, the very last verse in the book of Jonah is a question. Why would the Lord put the very last verse in the book of Jonah as a question? And I'm going to leave that to you. And later on in the, I'll be with you a couple more weeks. So, or whenever Marty releases me from being up here. It's a question. And not only is it a question, I believe it's the only verse in the Bible, chapter in the Bible, that ends with a question. So that's just a little trivia for you. But we serve a living God. He gave us his living word. How exciting is that? And we need to be excited. You know, sometimes I come to church and I'm just like dragging. And it's not until I get in, you know, get further along with the services. But we need to be excited right off the bat. We need to be excited yesterday that we get to go to a church to where we can praise the Lord, honor the Lord, and fellowship with God's people. We need to be excited about that. How exciting is that? Are you excited today? You need to be. The Bible is so full of real life history for both our learning and application. And I almost don't like saying history when I talk about the Bible, because the Bible is a living word. It's God's word, and it's living. I think, Beulah. I was talking with Beulah yesterday, and she says, yeah, I read through the Bible. She reads through the Bible every year. There's always something new reading the same scriptures. She always sees something new in there. Why? Because it's not dead. God's not dead. We serve a living God, and he has a living word. And I don't know why I went there, but that's just awesome. We should get excited about what's the next thing God's going to reveal to us. What's the next thing that God has for us? What's the next opportunity we have to praise the Lord and to honor the Lord? You know, sometimes we come in here and we think it's all about us. It's not. It's all about Him. And we need to remember that. The relationship between us and Jesus is so important. And everything we do, when we read the Word, when we serve the Lord, when we fellowship, at all, that all helps with our relationship with Christ. And when we wake up and we go through our day, and when we lay our head back on the pillow at night, it should all be focused on the Lord. You wake up, Lord, what do you have for me today? Put your feet on the floor. You go get your coffee or whatever. There's one guy I know, he drinks Mellow Yellow right away in the morning. I don't know if I could do that. That's rough, Mellow Yellow right in the morning. But I have my coffee in the morning. But everything, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for, pray. And this is what we do often. We pray for everyone that comes in our path early in the morning. Just, dear Lord, prepare the hearts of everybody that I come in contact with today. Prepare their hearts and prepare my heart so I am the person that you want me to be when I do come in contact with that person. But there's stories in the Bible like Adam and Eve. Remember Adam and Eve? That's here for us. Noah and the ark. And what I'm thinking about this morning is why are we here, right? Why are we here? Noah and the ark, it's for our learning. Joseph and the coat of many colors, David and Goliath, Lot, Job, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jonah and the whale, Solomon, Saul, Zacchaeus. Each word of the Bible, each word of the Bible allows us to have more insight and a better relationship with our personal Savior and Lord. We should honor and praise Him with our entire being and purpose. And I wrote those few words down this morning because it just hit me. It's like, you know, many of us have seen a lot of changes over time, right? We've seen a lot of changes over time. And I was thinking about this class in particular. I have the class roster, and I was looking at it, and I was looking at each name on the roster yesterday. And I was thinking, you know, like we're talking about this one lady was 91 years old, seen a lot of changes. You know, when you were younger, there was no cell phones, right? Cell phones didn't exist. Microwaves probably didn't exist. Computers for a large didn't exist. A lot of things didn't exist. So you've seen a lot of changes over time. And, you know, some changes you embraced and some changes you just don't like. But you know what? We have a Lord and Savior. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. That's exciting. There's always a rock that you can go to that never changes, that will give you the same counsel, that will give you the same unconditional love, and give you the direction that you need. That's exciting. You won't get that anywhere else in your life but with our Lord and Savior. And it says that I am God, I change not. God can't lie. He says He changes not. So we're talking about Jonah and the fact that he disobeyed the Lord and almost missed the largest revival, especially for Nineveh, right? But the largest revival recorded, because out of one message, out of one sermon, out of one preaching sermon, am I pointing at you? I'm not pointing at you. Sorry. Out of one sermon, the whole town got revival. The whole town got saved. That's amazing. But what about us? We talk about Jonah, right? And, you know, I'm careful not to just go through the Bible and just give you facts and figures. You know, I'm not going to say it's no good, but I'm just saying, until you can bring it into your own life and you can take the Bible and apply it and use it and live it, that's when it's profitable. And it says it was the largest revival, especially for Nineveh. But what about us today? What about revival in our own lives, in our own hearts? You know, we can beat up Jonah, but he preached a revival, and the whole town got saved. Although he did disobey the Lord, and he just didn't like the people, and the Lord had compassion over the people of Nineveh and the Ninevites, but Jonah did not, and that's where he wasn't on board with the Lord. And what we need to learn from that is, regardless of what we can do to serve the Lord, regardless of how we serve the Lord, we need to have compassion on God's people. We need to have compassion, especially the unlovable ones, right? They're all lovable, right? We should love each and every person because God created them. God formed them in the womb before he knew each and every one of us before we were born. That's amazing. But he loved us, and we love him because he first loved us. And that's amazing too. But God is so good, and he wants to bless us. Now, remember what I said about Mark 2:1? Mark 2:1, when it was noised that Jesus was in the house. I thought that's just good. You should every time you come to church, you should think about Mark 2:1. It was noised that Jesus was in the house. You know, we'll yell at a football game. We'll get excited at a wedding. I was at a wedding last night. We'll get excited at a wedding and clap when they say the I do's. And we'll get excited about all kinds of stuff. Let's get excited in church. Mark 2:1, it was noised. It was loud. It was exciting. Because why? Because Jesus was there. Now, there's church buildings all across this land. And I've been to a lot of them in all my travels in the military. But there's churches all across this land, and they're dead and they're quiet. You know why? Jesus isn't there. They're there for a different purpose. And a lot of the churches that, you know, they have these programs and they have all this other stuff going on. But at the end of the day, it's just dead. But I guarantee you, Jesus is in this house, and it's something to be excited about, and we need to be noised. And also in Acts 4:29-31, it said the place was shaken. It said the place was shaken. And I'm sorry to recap, so I'm just so excited about everything that's going on in Jonah's life here and in our lives and how we can apply the living word to us. But it said the place was shaken. When was the last time that because Jesus was in the house, you were shaken or I was shaken? We need to pay attention because, you know, young people, you know, sometimes you just want to just go shake them, right? It's like, are you listening to me? Don't do that no more. You just want to shake them up so they just become aware of what's going on and how their sin is affecting them and others and how it's going to affect them in the future. Well, it says here that the place was shaken. We need to be shaken. We need to live on purpose. We need revival in our lives. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, 6 through 8, if you want to turn there real quick. And I need to go quicker here. But it says, then one of the seraphims unto me, Isaiah 6, 6 through 8, then one of the seraphims unto me, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You know, if you want revival, you want to be shaken, you want to be excited because Jesus is in the house, you need to start with you. You need to have revival in your own life. You need to be excited. You need to work out your own salvation, in a sense, it says in the Bible. But, you know, there was a story here. Yeah, the evangelist Gypsy Smith was once asked how to start revival. And Gypsy Smith, he spoke at a lot of revivals, and just he was just an exciting person to be around. But Gypsy Smith was once asked how to start revival, and Smith replied, he said, Brother, go back home, lock yourself in a private room, take a piece of chalk, and you just make a big circle with that chalk. You get inside that circle, and you kneel down, and you ask and plead the Lord for you to have revival. Why am I telling you that? It's because the book of Jonah is about revival. And until you apply it to yourself, we need revival so we can serve the high God of heaven and so we can honor him with our lives and have that relationship that we need to have. Because when it's all said and done, and again, I hate to pick on Beulah, but yesterday, when it's all said and done, it's you and the Lord. And prior to that, it's you and your family, but then it's you and the Lord. Let's have that relationship, and let's have it grow all the way up until we're with the Lord. All right, let me skip a few things here so I can get going. But God has a plan for every person's life, our sinful nature. And you know what? God has a plan, and God's talking to us. And that plan is revealed little by little. But guess what? Satan has a plan too. And Satan wants to stop us from doing anything for God. Satan wants to stop us from honoring God, from worshiping God, from anything to do with God. Let's go with God's plan. Let's draw that circle around us. Let's kneel. Let's ask God for revival. And let's change some things in our life so we can serve the high God of heaven, so we can have that relationship with him. Let's form a pattern of obedience. Let's form a pattern of obedience to the will of God. If we form a pattern of obedience to the will of God, from the moment we get up in the morning, ask God for guidance before you get out of bed, your feet hit that floor, pray for people that are coming into your path. And not only the people that would happen to be in your path, ask God, please put people in my path that I might affect for eternity. All right. Psalm 27:4. Rick, could you get that up somehow? Are we dead in the water? We might have to do this from memory. What's that? Yeah, it's in there. Psalm 27:4. Just advance it to where we go in there. And then we'll sing that, and then we'll get... I think we passed it up. So if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. And we're going to sing that verse. Like we have. So, you ready? One, two, three.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, behold the beauty. Behold the beauty of the Lord, and highest temple.
That's a great song. That's a straight out of the Bible. And you apply that to your life and change that one thing that may help you for the rest of your life. And that's what you need to do. And make sure that you always stay under the preaching of the Word of God and always stay in the house of the Lord. If you turn in your Bible to Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and we'll sing that song. Do we have that one, Rick? I think that's later on. Yeah. Let's sing that, and then we'll move on from there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. Now, you can personalize this. You can put I in front of it. I'll trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'll lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways I'll acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. He shall direct my path. So, two good scriptures to hold on to meditate on for the rest of your day and for the rest of your life, and just hold on to that, and let me so Jonah's negligence. Jonah had a willful deafness. He had a willful deafness. On purpose, he closed his ears. He knew where to go and what God directed him. It was so clear and so plain. Sometimes we're trying to discern what the Lord is trying to say to us. It was so clear and so plain, but he had a willful deafness. Maybe he should have had one of those implants activated, right? But I don't think he had a problem with that. You know, sometimes you yell at a kid, or you're talking to a child, and you say, "Did you hear me? Did you hear me?" Well, you know he heard you. Are you going to obey? You know, are you going to obey? I'm using that, but I wasn't mean to my kids like that, but. But did you hear me? And a woeful disaster. What happened when Jonah disobeyed? God created a storm. And that's, you don't want God to have to create a storm or a situation to get your attention. But he'll do it. And the Bible talks about different situations. But because of Jonah's disobedience, God created a storm, and it was a woeful disaster. Jonah's nation. If you have your hand out, it says Jonah's nation. Jonah's nation, that was the world around Jonah. And we need to think about the world around us. How is God affecting us? But Jonah's nation, the nemesis of indifference, it says there. And I'm just abbreviating everything so I can catch up a little bit. But the nemesis of indifference. The nemesis is like the enemy of, or the downfall of, the nemesis of. And indifference is apathy. Were you ever in a situation where someone going to talk to you and you just didn't care? I just don't care. You try and you're like, I just don't care anymore. Well, you know what? God wants you to care. And you need to get back to the place where you do care. But Jonah didn't care. And the problem with the indifference or the apathy or the complacency, sometimes, you know, especially with, you know, some of us have been in church for a while, we get complacent. We don't get excited about Jesus being in the house. We don't get shaken because we've been in church for a long, long time. maybe 60, 70 years in some cases. Joe's like, it's been longer. No. But we got to fight the devil in becoming complacent. We need to be excited every time we wake up because we get to serve that high God of heaven. But we can't get like Jonah. Jonah got to where he didn't like the people. He didn't want to be around the people. He didn't want to serve the people. And in essence, if you get like that, you're not serving God. You're not honoring God with your life. You're not honoring your family and the necessity of involvement. He had to get involved with and so he went back and he did the right thing and preached to the Ninevites. But Jonah's notoriety. I know I'm going fast, but I'm trying to catch up a little bit because I get too excited about what I'm doing here. But Jonah's notoriety, a legacy of disobedience. And if you think about it, there's other examples in the Bible where it talks about disobedience. And I'll just give you Lot, for example. What'd Lot do? Lot moved away from Abraham, right? He moved away from Abraham. I'll have to end with this. But Abraham was a godly influence on Lot, right? And maybe Lot was saved through Abraham, and Abraham led him to the Lord, or his godly influence was Abraham. But then Lot left Abraham and went to Sodom to live. But then where was Lot's witness? He wasn't telling anybody about the Lord. He wasn't telling anybody about God. You know how I know that? Because Abraham was pleading with God, hey, if you found this many righteous people, would you save Sodom? And God said, no, you don't even have 10 righteous people. So the influence that Lot had with his witness to the town of Sodom, he had no witness. Matter of fact, he didn't even have a witness to his wife. His wife didn't even listen to him. He said, hey, don't look back. Don't look back. And what'd she do? She looked back. And her life was destroyed because of it. So, and you know what happened with Lot? With Lot? It didn't happen right away. He moved. He sat in the gate. And then he moved closer and closer and closer. And then he was living in right down in Sodom. And he had no witness at all. And then he was willing to give his whole family up for corruption. And, you know, he probably looked back and like, how did I get here? We need to have revival in our life. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to not follow people like Lot or people like Jonah. And that's all I have time for. So let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. It's exciting that you're here in our hearts and in our lives. And exciting that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear Lord in heaven, help us to have a relationship with you, a closer walk with you. And dear Lord in heaven, help us to honor you with our lives. I pray for the next service. Pray for the pastor. Hide him behind the cross. Give him the truth. And we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a nice day.